Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and I trust you enjoyed hearing Harold's voice yesterday. I know he was thrilled to be able to greet everyone on the call. It was great for him and great for me and great for everybody. So I want you to, I have a quick prayer request, you might say. They could let my husband out as soon as Friday, or they might want to wait until next Tuesday. So please pray it's Friday. Thanks for doing that. Okay, today we're going to talk about one of actually my favorite topics in Scripture. It's spiritual authority. How authority works is probably one of the most misunderstood principles of all the principles of our Christian walk. No matter how much you know and understand as a Christian, if you do not understand and properly walk in authority, you will not, indeed you cannot, attain all God wants for you. Dr. Mike Murdoch made a statement several years ago that helps explain the way God thinks. It was brilliant. There is the person of God, and then there are the principles of God. The person of God loves you unequivocally. He gave his son to die for you. He loves you that much. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that can make him not love you. Think of that. Romans 8, 31 through 33, and then I threw in 38, but you could really read that whole section. But this is what it says. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. And verse 38 ends up saying, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the point of all that? We are loved. That's it. Now there's another side. God also gave us principles in a book he called the Bible. He lovingly and painstakingly moved upon those willing to do his will, and through the Holy Spirit, he wrote an instruction manual that is next to none. In the Bible, God includes everything we need to know. We only have to read it and obey. 2 Peter 1:3, 1:3, this in the English Standard Version tells us, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Yet invariably in our ministry, we have people approach us, good people. I mean, people who love God and have a heart for doing what his will, and say, I can't understand why God could let this happen. I thought he loved me. The answer to their dilemma is actually quite simple. They either didn't know or simply disobeyed what God had to say. Matthew 22:29 says, Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. The Bible is full of instructions. If you do this, you'll receive that. God's principles were not put down in a book to intentionally mess us up. They were put there to help us have a leg up. Yet, when we don't follow or know the instructions, well, negative things can come to pass. We don't get what we desire, but it's worse than that. We actually don't receive what God desires for us, a full and satisfying life. And whose fault is that? You've probably heard it said that God's done all he's going to do. Well, here's another truth. That's all you need. However, it's now up to us to do what is necessary to activate his principles so we can live a blessed life. Understanding authority is the way we need to understand authority. Let me put it this way. the way God sees authority. If you're living in the United States, and I mean most everybody on our call, although we do have some people that live outside the United States that listen to our calls, actually many, you're blessed because you have grown up under the U.S. Constitution, which for the most part backs up what we call civil authority. And here's an example. Let's say you're driving down a street in your town and you see a traffic light has malfunctioned ahead of you. So as you slow down, you notice a policeman standing in the intersection directing the traffic. He puts up his hand and halts the cars coming from the main street to allow cars from a side street to enter. As it becomes your turn to stop, you can clearly see this guy is someone you went to high school with. In addition, he was not really the kind of guy you ever hung out with because he did not exhibit the kind of morals or principles you were brought up to respect. On top of that, he was even called a bully. So I have a question for you. Would you stop if he indicated for you to stop? After all, you have a 2-ton car. What would keep you from ignoring his direction and going around him instead? The point is, of course you would stop, because your obedience to his direction is based on his authority to direct traffic, not on how you feel about him as an individual or a personality. Yet, think about when you go into church on Sunday. There are a lot of Christians who base their decisions of obedience to authority based on how they feel about an individual, as opposed to treating them with the respect of the position they may hold in the church. It could be an usher who's saying he doesn't want your family sitting in this section. We're having special guests. He wants you to sit in another section, but you don't like it. Or it could be even the nursery worker who won't let you put your child in another age category just because your best friend is in there today. Regardless of how much we love the Lord, a lack of understanding God's authority will literally hinder our progress. If you've ever wondered why you just can't seem to get any further than you are, this teaching could actually, well, be explained to you how to walk in freedom that you've been looking for. Understanding authority is established by God. God established authority because without it, there would be chaos. A general definition of authority is a working relationship by which things are organized. Romans 13:1 says this, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. Literally, it said it one way, and then it turned around and said it another way. We understand civil authority better because we live in a country that was founded on respect for authority. We have a president of the United States called a commander-in-chief. We have a Congress under him, individual states and individual counties and individual local city governments. But they are all accountable to one another in some way or another. But it's understood that there is a level of authority and it continues down to the bottom most official. We're blessed by living in this country by the fact that at least for now, we don't have to worry that one day we'll wake up and find there was a coup overnight and our government has now been overtaken by the military or any other opposing political faction. This is a privilege we enjoy that over 134 other countries in the world don't enjoy. They've experienced coups since their existence, and many of them far more than one. The point of the teaching is to understand that the origin of the world's problem is not sin. It was rebellion. Sin was not what caused Satan's fall. Rebellion against God's authority was the reason that Satan was removed. Isaiah 14 verses 12 through 15, best known for explaining this, says it this way in the Message Bible. "What a come down this, O Babylon, day star, son of dawn," names for Satan. "Flat on your face in the underworld mud, you famous for flattening nations. You said to yourself, I'll climb to heaven. I'll set my throne over the stars of God. I'll run the assembly of angels that meet on sacred Mount Zephon. I'll climb to the top of the clouds. I'll take over as king of the universe. But you didn't make it, did you? Instead of climbing up, you came down, down with the underground dead, down to the abyss of the pit. There is a big difference between offending God's holiness and offending God's authority. Offending God's holiness is sin. Sin is a matter of conduct, and we probably do it one way or another every day we live. But offending God's authority is considered rebellion, and rebellion is a matter of principle. Going back to our example of the policeman directing traffic, if you went by him and snubbed your nose to show how you felt about him, that would be sin, because God has directed us to walk in love as he is love. However, if you were to go through the intersection when he said to wait, that would be rebelling against his authority to keep an orderly traffic flow. There is a lot to be said and a lot to be understood about the power of authority, but it doesn't look like I'm going to get that far today. So I guess we'll just have to finish this up tomorrow. But in the meantime, hallelujah. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Pray about, you know, Harold getting released on Friday. And I will keep you informed about when he's going to join us back on Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I don't know who's more excited, you or me. But anyway, until that time, you have a wonderful Wednesday. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and we appreciate you. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.